it's very hard to serve something to eat to people that are not hungry. And I find that all the time. You know, if you're not hungry, if you don't have that spiritual hunger on the inside, well, then it's easy to stay away from church and don't bother much. You know, and it's very quick for something else to jump in between, you know, and you don't have to look for a reason. Any old reason is good enough. But I cater for hungry people. I thought I would hear a few hungry people agree with me, but and I'm looking for the hungry ones, because I know that's the ones that God is going to feed. They are going home satisfied, and they're going home satisfied in one way, but more hungry in another way. And the hungry people are the ones that God wants to use, the ones that say, I just cannot get enough. I just cannot get enough. Trying to, you know, to fill the church with people that don't really know who they are in Christ, and they don't know where they're going, and they don't know, they're not sure if they want to be here, and so that's not the group we're catering for. We cater for the people that want to walk with God, that are serious about life, people who understand purpose and want to get on with God. And if I take a handful with me, I'll bless God for them. I found out a long time ago, I speak with pastors, you know, and some of them come to me and say, you know, we struggle financially. Then I say, well, do you teach your people the blessing of giving? They say, no, I'm scared I will lose them. I say, well, let them go. What's the use of having a church filled with people that have no purpose in life, they have no intention of serving God, they just come take up seat and make the church look good, but it's actually not good at all. And if you cannot bring a truth, a word of truth, what's the purpose of it all? You know, fill the place and look successful according to the world standards? Well, we're beyond that, thank God. Thank God. We know that success is doing the will of God. And that's what we're after. That is what we're after. We want to do the will of God. And we cannot tickle the ears of our people. We need to serve the truth as God gives it to us, because that's the only thing that will help us. And as I said before, I'm serious about this. I'm not trying to be cool. I'm not trying to present Christian entertainment or any kind of entertainment just to fill the chairs and so. We're not into that. We're into getting to the core of it. We're into getting into the depth of it. We want to see where God wants to take us. What's the plan? What's the purpose of it all? And so when I stand here on a Sunday morning or whenever I stand here, Sunday evening and Wednesday evening and some other times, that's the purpose. That is the purpose. You know, we're not here to make us feel good. We're here to do what God wants us to do. And it doesn't always feel good. It's not always comfortable. I know that myself. You know, when I stand here, I don't preach to you. I preach to us. I'm included in this. I'm part of this body. And I'm part of where God wants to take us as a church. So that's why I love the Word of God. Acts chapter 10. And I want to read from verse 9. Let's keep your Bible open, because we'll just work our way through it. Now, this is about Cornelius, and he was not a Jew, he was an Italian. And on top of that, he was part of the occupying force in Israel at the time. So, in the natural, not a very popular person among the Jews. But so he was a Gentile. He was not a Jew, he was a Gentile. And the Jews had no fellowship with the Gentiles. And even the law prohibited them of having fellowship with the Gentiles. The law stated that they were not to mix with the Gentiles. But this man honored God. He knew that God was God. And he understood that there was only one true God. And in his way, and in the little bit that he knew about God, he tried to serve God by praying and giving alms, giving donations to poor people and wherever he wanted to give to. And so as he was fasting and praying, an angel came to him and gave him direction to find the Apostle Peter. So we sent some people there to go and get him. So verse 9 is where we pick up. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That was 12 o'clock noon. The Jews began their day counting the hours at 6 o'clock in the morning, so that would be 12 o'clock. The interesting thing that I see here is that he was praying. Peter went up praying. He went up to pray. And I have found in my own life, and of what I've seen in life, is that it's when you pray that things happen. Yes. It's when you're praying that things happen. While Cornelius was praying, the angel came to him. While he was praying and fasting, God responded to his prayers and directed him to Peter. While Peter was praying, something amazing was about to happen. He went up to pray. Now, verse 10, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Well, we can reason that it's about time to be hungry, 12 o'clock, it's lunchtime. And he was praying and he became hungry. And he probably gave a signal to the people down there in the house, well, it's time to prepare for lunch. Get something ready, I'm hungry. But God, I believe that God was using that hunger to draw his attention to something. Now, what is interesting here is this, that it's just a natural thing to be hungry around 12 o'clock. And so often we can ascribe things that we sense to just natural causes. It's not always the case. It's not always the case at all. And so often we filter out what God wants to bring to us by our rational thinking. We become very rational in our society, in the day that we live in. We're very rational people. And because we're so rational, we are not sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit of God. We say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Very easily. We say, well, I don't think that's the right thing to do. That would be a dumb thing to do. And so we reason out things. We filter it out because we are rational people. Now, he was hungry, and while he was waiting for them to call him, he fell into a trance. Now, that's interesting, too. You know, it's very quick for people to say when you have a spiritual experience, well, you know, that's strange. That's strange. Well, he's in a trance. That's not right. That is not right. That is not normal. Well, it appears to be normal when you look at it from a spiritual point of view, that God was taking him out of the natural and showing him something in the spiritual. He was about to do a huge new thing. And he knew that Peter was not going to cooperate with him, and he had to prepare him for that. Now, God works that way with us also. And sometimes he has a hard time getting through to us because we are so rational and we cling so much to our culture and the way we think and the way we do things in our societies that we easily miss God, because we will only receive things from him that fall within our cultural ways of doing things. Now, the interesting thing is this. God is not into our culture. The Bible says, where God speaks to the prophet Isaiah, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think the way you do. I don't think the way you do. Don't you try to get me to think the way you do, because you need to think the way I do. That's the challenge we have. Thinking the way God does is not easy. The only way we can do that is when we obey the Spirit of God when he comes. to reveal something to us. And so, as Peter was in the Strands, verse 11, and saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and led down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." So something so contrary to his upbringing and his way of thinking and even the law that was so deeply ingrained in his thinking was taking place now. He's hungry and he's in a trance, and this very awful thing is happening. A voice comes to him. It's interesting to me that it doesn't say God is speaking to him. It says a voice, because he's not sure where this voice is coming from. "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Well, we don't eat those things. They're unclean. The law tells us not to eat those things. I cannot eat it. And it's been passed down, down the generations through the centuries that us Jews don't eat those animals. We don't eat those things. And now this voice, he's in the spirit, and this voice comes to him and says, "Kill and eat. You're hungry. Eat." And he has a problem with that. Verse 14. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again, the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." So God comes again, second time, speaking to him. I wonder how many times God has spoken to us. How many times God has tried to get something through to us, and we just say, "No, Lord, we don't do that thing. I don't do that. It's not my personality, you know. I'm a reserved person. Don't ask me to call that one, or don't ask me to speak to that one, or to witness to this one, or to lay hands on that one. I don't do that thing, you remember? I am a reserved person." Find someone else. It cannot be God. God knows me. He knows I don't do that. That cannot be God. Who is this? Where's this voice coming from? And so God came back to him a second time. He was not going to obey the first time. That is certain. That's very clear. Peter was not going to obey the first time God spoke to him. He had an argument with that. He had an argument with the Lord. He was trying to correct God. Say, "Lord, you know we don't eat those things. You know that." Verse 16, this was done three times. Three times. God tried to speak to him, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Verse 17, now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant. Now I can imagine, you can sit and wonder about that for a while. What is this all about? God trying to get me to eat unclean things. What is this? He thought about that for a while. And then, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." See, he is helping him here. "Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing." Go with them, doubting nothing. I can imagine that Peter could doubt this whole thing. Should I go? Should I go with these people? Should I go with the Italians? Should I go to the Gentiles and go into their home and speak with them? Should I do that? And he could doubt that very easily, but the Holy Spirit said, "Don't you doubt. Just go. Go. For I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God, and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. I don't want to read all of this, but this Cornelius, he got all his friends and his relatives, and he brought them all together. He was waiting for Peter to come. Verse 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jew, for a Jewish man, to keep company with or go to one of another nation. Unlawful. He was still thinking about the law. He's doing an unlawful thing here, going into the house of these people. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? He wasn't sure what to do. He didn't know. The interesting thing is, the Holy Spirit didn't tell him beforehand what to go and tell them. He didn't give him a sermon. He didn't give him a teaching. He gave him nothing. The only thing he told them was, go. Go. And that can be a challenge too, when the Holy Spirit tells you to go and he doesn't tell you what to do. He just tells you to go. Well, what shall I do? I don't think there's anything I can share with these people. You know, I'm not a public speaker and I cannot talk with people. So why should I go or rather stay? Well, we can reason like that. But we are learning from this passage how to walk with the Holy Spirit. How to obey him. How to flow with him. Because he's taking Peter into something brand new, something he'd never done before. He's leading him into something he would never do out of his own. Peter would never even think of doing that. And so, walking with the Holy Spirit brings him into a brand new adventure. He's going to see some things that he never thought he would ever see. And experience something that nobody of the Jewish people ever thought it could happen. But he had to obey the Holy Spirit. He had to go without knowing what to do, what to say. He just had to go. And I know God often does that. He'll tell you, well, just call this person. It doesn't tell you what to tell them. It doesn't tell you what to say. It just tells you to call them. I have found that often. And I still do sometimes. Usually I don't do the calling. I tell my wife to call. I'm not a telephone person. I don't carry cell phones or things. I don't want communication. I communicate in different ways. But, I just tell her, well, call so-and-so, or, you know, and tell her. And then she calls, and then we find out, well, yeah, there is something going on. There is a reason for us to call. And then we can deal with that. But that often happens. That often happens. I don't know why. I just know we should contact that person. Years ago, I had a dream one night. We had just gone back from Belgium, and we lived in a house. We had no telephone at that time. They were a bit slow in installing a telephone, so we didn't have a lot of communication possibilities. And I had a dream, and I saw one of our church members that we hadn't seen for a long time, years, because we were way out of the country. And I saw him in church. We were singing, and I saw him fall. And I saw him, people carrying him out. And it bothered me. And I said to her, you know, we need to contact these people. I don't know what this is, but just contact them. And she said, okay, I'll make a appointment. We didn't live in the same town at that time either. And so she said, okay, I will contact them. And 3 days later, I'll be visiting there, and then I'll go and see them. She walked in there that morning, found out that the man had died just 2 days earlier. We were late. I've learned that when the Spirit speaks, to obey immediately. Don't put him on your schedule, you go on his. you obey him. He will speak to you when it's time to obey. He will not speak to you and give you your reasons to when you will go or when it's comfortable for you to go. He will speak when it's time to go. He will call you when it's time for you to call someone or visit someone. Or just say, well, let's meet for coffee somewhere. I don't know why. It will come out. In the conversation, things will come out. You will see that. You'll see that. By now, we know. When I say call, we call right away. Because we know something's going on. And maybe there's a word of encouragement we need to do. Maybe we should pray with them. Maybe they need some advice and so on. Who knows? But the Holy Spirit knows. And our part is to go when he says go. And when you get there, he'll tell you the rest. Because with God, all things go by faith. All the gifts of the Spirit operate by faith. God is not going to give you the whole prophecy in essay form. He's going to give you the first, you'll be happy to get the first sentence. You'll be blessed. He sometimes just gives you a first word. And as you speak it by faith, you don't know, what shall I say after that? Well, I don't know. Just speak the word. The rest will come. Well, we confess to be people of faith. We confess to be a Pentecostal church. We ought to know these things, and we ought to practice them. This is our lifestyle we're talking about here. This is not something extraordinary. This is not something unusual. This is our normal lifestyle we're talking about. We're walking with the Spirit of God. It shouldn't be new. This is our daily lifestyle we're talking about here. God sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of you for a reason. That's not for you to write on something, well, I'm saved, I'm baptized in water, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to heaven. Well, that's not what it's all about. That is the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of His Spirit, of the Spirit of God with His gifts and His power is for service. That is equipment for service. It's not for us to go around bragging, well, I had the experience. It's not about the experience. It's about being equipped for service, to help people in need, to know there's something that you need to do. And we ought to walk with him as a daily way of living. It's a daily, normal thing. And I believe the Holy Spirit has something to share with us every single day. Every day. That's our normal lifestyle. That we ought to hear from God. We ought to hear from him. When we fellowship with him, we'll hear his voice. We will hear his voice tonight. I'm going to speak about hearing from God tonight. And we need to know his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And they know my voice. They will not follow a stranger because they know my voice. How do we know his voice? Because we fellowship with him. We fellowship with him. And the reason why we need to know his voice is when he speaks, he might share something so outrageous with you that in your rational thinking, you will never accept it. Well, that's what happened with Peter. Man, this was so out of his comfort zone, you cannot even imagine. It was out of his culture. He could get in trouble for doing that. And after that, he had some explaining to do. Why did you go there and baptize those people? You're not supposed to go. He had to do some explaining. walking with the Holy Spirit is not going to bring you into a normal, run-of-the-mill, everyday lifestyle. He's going to take you into some things that you would never do in the natural. And therefore, obedience is of utmost importance. And walking by faith, knowing the voice of God. You need to know, if you want to walk with God, you need to know his voice. Verse 29 again. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. And your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Can you imagine that God saw his giving? And because of his giving, God saw that his prayers were actually serious. He was a sincere man. He backed up his prayer with some action. And I don't know why it is, and I know some people get very nervous when money is mentioned anywhere. Some people get very nervous. And the interesting thing is that sometimes that's the place where God's going to start talking with you. It's about money. Well, I don't have money. Well, give what you have. How shall we live then? Don't worry about it. That's God's problem. You just do what he tells you to do. And do it by faith and do it without objection and do it right away. And so this man, he prayed and he gave alms. He gave what we call offerings. He gave alms. I don't know where he gave them to. Maybe to poor people. I don't know. But he was a giver. And because he prayed and because he gave, God responded to him. It says, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. When he comes, he will speak to you. Couldn't God use the angel to tell them? No, God doesn't do angels to preach the gospel. He only uses people. He only uses people. God doesn't send angels to preach the gospel. He only sends people. Angels, do you know that angels don't understand the gospel? They don't understand what this is. Later on in his epistle, Peter talks about this. He says the angels, they desire to look into this thing because they don't know what it is to be lost and be saved again. They don't understand this because they haven't been there. They never fell in sin like we did. And so they don't qualify to preach the gospel, but we do. We do. And what you do is you tell them what God did for you. That's all you do. Well, I was like this, but then God came and he saved me. And now I don't live that way anymore. I don't have those problems anymore. I'm a different person. That's all you do. That is all you do. Just tell them what Jesus did for you. That's all. You don't have to preach to anybody. Someone said, I forget the name now, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. This is the way you live. It's just the way you live. Just show them what God did for you. Just show them what God did for you. When he comes, he will speak to you. So the angel didn't bring them the gospel. The angel didn't tell them about Jesus who died for them. The angel didn't tell them that God loved them, wanted to save them through the blood of Jesus. Nothing. He said, Peter, he will tell you. He will tell you all those things. When he comes, he will tell you. 33, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth. See, that's what you need to do, is open your mouth. I think it's David who said, just open your mouth, God will fill it. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. God doesn't have favorites. He has no favorites. God shows no partiality. Every person on the face of the earth qualifies to be saved and to have a brand new life. Every person. God shows no partiality. Thank God. for that. Because if he did, I would not be standing here before you. I didn't qualify. I did not qualify to walk with God. In the natural, I did not qualify to speak to anybody about anything. But God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. In every nation, whoever fears him with that reverential fear, honoring God, recognizing God for who he is, knowing God exists, and honoring him, and working righteousness, just like Cornelius did. He didn't do a big thing. He prayed, and he fasted, and he gave alms. That's all he did. That's all he did. He qualified because he recognized God. He recognized God. It said there in the beginning, as we read, that verse 22, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God. One who fears God. Verse 36, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Well, that's the only gospel he really spoke. Verse 3, he was just telling about Jesus who came and how he did good things because God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. See, God made it so simple. He made it so simple. All you have to do is believe in him and receive remission of sins and walk away without your sins. What can be more simpler than that? And declare. And yes, I was a sinner. But not anymore. Because I've received remission of my sins. It's not something I did. I just received it. It was given to me. It was given to me. Now, here comes the glorious part. Now, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. He was still speaking. I don't think he knew how that meeting was going to end. I don't think he had any idea of how to end his testimony that he was bringing. I don't think he knew. He was just talking away, telling them about Jesus. But while he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them, on all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, that's the Jews, who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Why? Because God shows no partiality. He did prophesy. He did speak through the prophets. And he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. On all of them. Not the ones that you think qualify. On all of them. Because God shows no partiality. God shows no partiality. He didn't bring them to an altar call. He didn't lay hands on them. I don't think he was going to. I don't think he had any plan of doing anything. But while he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit had some plans. And he came upon all of them. Every one of them. I'm so glad that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for some people, as some proclaim. Because God shows no partiality. He's not going to give some more than others. He gives it all to all who wants it. And all who walks by faith. And he opens a door for everybody who is hungry to have it. And will not reason it out of the way and theologize it out of the way and, you know, find all kinds of deep reasons and things. These people had no idea what was going to happen. They were not conditioned in their minds about all this stuff. All they knew is they were listening to what Peter was saying, and suddenly the Holy Spirit fell on all of them. Every one of them. And, you know, I grew up in these things, and I saw people being baptized in the Holy Spirit as a child. I saw that, and I saw the power of God, and I heard prophecies. They were awesome. I tell you, when prophecies came to church, the fear of God fell on us. It was a tremendous experience. I was thinking this morning that we used to have a service at midnight every year when we went from the old to the new year. We were waiting in the church. We had communion. And we waited for the new year in prayer. Every year. And every year, there would come a prophecy right about that time. It was an awesome experience. God ushering us into the new year. God with us. What an experience it was. Year after year after year. That was the main thing we were looking forward to. What is God going to say to us tonight as we enter into the new year? What would His promise be? What would He confirm for us for this coming year? We expected Him to speak. We expected Him to be with us. Because He was there, service after service after service, we allowed Him to be free. It was wonderful. It was glorious. There was this nothing else that I would rather have than that. And I saw and experienced those things. But through wrong teaching and ignorance on my part, I waited for the baptism in the Holy Spirit for 13 long years. I don't know. You know, people say things and you're glad you didn't live in those days. Let me tell you what we went through. It's a miracle that we're still saved today. They were well-meaning. They tried their best, but they were ignorant. They didn't know how to properly teach us. And because we didn't receive proper teaching, we went without for a long time. But when I became so desperate and said, I will not leave this service without the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's the day Jesus baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And I figured out how easy it was. There was no reason to wait that long. No reason at all. It was the easiest thing I ever did. Receive it by faith. Because the promise is to you, He said, and to your children, and to all of those who are still afar off, talking about you and I, to everyone, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Well, if you're born again, do you have the Holy Spirit? Of course you have. Of course you have. But you don't have the abundance. You don't have the abundance. He's talking about the abundance here. Peter was born again. But he had not received the Holy Spirit yet before the day of Pentecost. It's two experiences. Jesus blew on them, on your disciples, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he told them, don't you go away from Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high. Well, we already received the Holy Spirit. No, there's something more. There's something more. And on that day, Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, and he said, when you receive from me, there will be a fountain on the inside of you that will spring up inside of you into everlasting life. He was talking about the new birth. But just a few chapters later, in John chapter 7, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, when he comes, he will be like rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. And the fountain turns into rushing, gushing river. And the breath that he blew on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, it became a rushing, mighty wind. More of the same. The abundance that God designed for you and I to live in. And why shall we not decide to do that? And while these people were still sitting and Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them. How do we know that? Well, it says it right here. Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few more days. What a glorious experience that must have been. I'm so glad he obeyed the Holy Spirit. When he came with this outrageous instruction, you go into the Gentiles' house. You go. Do that thing you didn't want to do. Go and do it. Go that thing you would never do. Do it. Do that thing that everybody will criticize you for. Go and do it. And he opened the door for the Holy Spirit to fall upon the Gentiles also. And suddenly the prophecy of Joel was fulfilled right there in front of his eyes. The Holy Spirit fell on all flesh. And the Holy Spirit's here today. And the good news is, he's not leaving. He's not leaving because Jesus said, he will be with you forever. He's not leaving. Now we need to learn how to walk with him. Now we need to learn how to be obedient to him. Even if we don't like his instruction or we don't understand it. Or it doesn't give us a full job description of what we're about to do. Just do what he tells you to do. God always keeps it simple. You just do what he tells you to do. It doesn't have to make sense. It has nothing to do with your senses. It has to do with obedience and faith. And really, at some place, faith and obedience become the same thing. There's a place where the two meet and they become one. You cannot obey if you don't believe. It's very hard to obey if you don't believe. But when obedience and faith come together, things begin to change. And that is the normal Christian life. That is the normal life that God ordained for you and I to live. Not to be a religious person, make everybody sick and miserable. But to have the exciting power flowing out of you. To speak words of life when people don't expect to be helped. That you come and you pour something out into them because the Spirit said go. That is how he designed us to live. I don't know a more exciting personality than the Holy Spirit. I don't know anybody who has more fun than the Holy Spirit. I don't know. And Paul tells us, he says, the kingdom of God is not the rules that you live by, of don't eat this and don't drink that. The kingdom of God is what? Love, is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Holy Spirit. That's part of it. Joy in the Holy Spirit. He is a person full of joy. And when he moved in, let me tell you, one of the first things you experience is this exploding joy on the inside. That's what I found when I stumbled on in the flesh, going to get it by faith. God honored my faith, and he filled me with joy that burst out of me, and I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I didn't want to stop. There was no reason to stop. It was just pouring out of me. Amen.
Amen.
Rivers of living water began to flow out of me. And now, you know, let me tell you just a simple practical thing. That river cannot flow with your mouth closed. Open your mouth and begin to praise God and thank him for the promise. We had a lady in Belgium, and she we were teaching on the Holy Spirit and so on. And then she called me one day and said, what you told us about overcame me. So I was washing dishes. And as I was washing dishes, suddenly I spoke in tongues. Suddenly I spoke in tongues. Do you know, we have become so almost programmed that we think someone must lay hands on us. Well, Peter didn't lay hands on these people. They received the Holy Spirit while he was still speaking. The Holy Spirit came on them. I didn't lay hands on old Marianne there in Belgium. There was nobody there. She was washing dishes. The Holy Spirit came on her. And she spoke with tongues. And it changed her whole life from that day on. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, not man. He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. John said, when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'd rather get it from him. Get some fire. Boy, I tell you, the church needs fire. It will burn out all the laziness, the complacency out of God's people. And my prayer is every day, I say, Lord, I know your will for this church is to be a spirit-filled church. Amen. And I'm working with you. And I'm pushing. And I keep on pushing. And I keep on pushing because I don't want to be mentioned in the same breath as religion. If this is going to be a religious bunch of people, I'm out of it. I will have no part of this, but I am looking forward to a day when rivers of living water will flow out of our innermost being and touch humanity around us. And give them something to hope for. And give them something to live for. And change them. Bring them out of their misery and put a spark of life into them. My life was never the same after he moved in. Never. And I would encourage you today, if you're not saved yet, if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, to do it today. Don't wait. You're not losing anything. You're gaining a lot. There's a lot to gain. He gives you a brand new life. You don't have to pay for it. He paid for it already. If you haven't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, well, you know what to do. Just open your mouth. Just open your mouth. Just take it by faith. Just take it by faith. It's yours. The promise is yours. The promise is yours. I'm not telling you my own version. the promise is yours. Acts 2:39. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The promise is to you. The promise is not for the next person next to you. The promise is not for someone that God favors. The promise is to you and to your children and to those who are afar off. The promise is for everybody. The promise is for all flesh. Doesn't matter what kind of flesh you are, what kind of ethnic group you are, what kind of nationality you are, what kind of person you are, the promise is for all flesh. Praise God. Praise God. Holy Spirit came to stay. He came to stay. He's the one that we're living with, that we're walking with day after day after day. He's the one that leads us. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that comforts us. He's the one who helps us. He's the one with the power. He's the one with the wisdom. He's the one who's greater than the one that's in the world. He's the one that helps you over every time the devil leads you into a corner. Yes. You cannot live without him. You have to have him in all his abundance. He's yours. He is yours. Receive him. That's all you need to do. Receive him. Amen.
Amen.
Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Lord, for being mindful of us. Thank you, Lord, for sending us the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper, the guide, God in us. I will receive you this morning. Holy Spirit, come in your fullness. Come and flow out of us, Lord. Turn that fountain into a mighty rushing river. Flow out of our innermost being. Turn that breath into a rushing mighty wind in our lives. Our Lord, we open our spiritual ears, we open our spiritual eyes that we may see, that we may hear from you, know your voice, and learn how to flow with you. Even when you take us into things that we don't understand, we still obey you because we know that you'll always take care of us. And Holy Spirit, manifest yourself in every life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life yet, then you can do